The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Today, Jason and I are going to be discussing the top 10 mistakes that we see youth basketball players making out on the court. Jason, number one, and we saw it a lot today at basketball camp.
A lot is an understatement.
Not being able to pivot without traveling. We talked in our last podcast about how important coordination and footwork is, and I think that not being able to pivot, I'm constantly amazed by the number of kids who get the ball, dribble it, stop dribbling, and then become statues and are just frozen with 2 feet in one place. I can't even count the number of times just this summer basketball camp season that I've been walking around, stopped a game because I observed a kid almost like they were playing Twister and couldn't move their feet, trying to pass the ball to somebody else, and then given a little demonstration of, look, when you're stuck like this, you have to pivot, and you can move your feet this way, and you can put the ball way over here, or you can put the ball way over here. So not being able to pivot out with traveling is a huge, huge problem.
I think my favorite thing is it's a lot of kids, but it seems to always be the same kid that I keep telling this over and over again. And I'm like, dude, just need to pivot. Watch me. And I demonstrate it with them. I show them how to do it. I have them replicate it. And then 10 seconds later, they've completely forgotten what I just showed them.
Yeah, I think it's just something that in some cases it's developmental when you look at the age of the player. And then in other cases, it's just kids who don't have the experience. So teaching kids to pivot and have good footwork is one of the things that we try to do at basketball camp because we really feel like it's an important skill for kids to be able to develop, not only as a youth player, but footwork continues to be important all the way on up through their entire basketball career.
All right, the second one is defending with the arms instead of the feet. And this was another one that we've seen a lot of. I saw it multiple times today specifically. I can recall specific kids. They just don't move their feet on the defensive end, and instead they're flailing their arms about. They literally go and hug whoever they're defending. Instead of trying to stop the person from going to the basket, with their feet and kind of cutting them off, so to speak, they kind of just lunge at them and give them a good old bear hug instead of...
Yeah, I love the kid who has their arms straight like a robot and then takes those arms and tries to control the offensive player, puts them basically in between their two arms and then kind of nudges them back and forth.
It's always the littlest ones, I think, that do that the most.
Yeah, for sure. The younger they are, the more often you see that. But again, you see it in all different, at all different levels. It's just a matter of how blatant that particular mistake is. And so what we try to do again is to teach kids how to move their feet, how to use their hands appropriately to try to deflect passes and not to try to control the movement of their offensive player that they're guarding. Mistake number three, shooting off balance. And this one, it's very timely for me because I'm doing the shooting station this week at our camp in Avon Lake. And so we're working a lot on footwork, and we're working on the principles of beef, balance, eyes, elbow, and follow through.
Concentration. And
so, yeah. So when I see kids shoot, so often they're going so fast, whether it is they're dribbling or whether they're just catching the ball off a pass, and then they're falling to one side or they're falling backwards or they're just not. Their foot position is terrible. They're just not in good position. So one of the things that I like to do, Jason, with kids who I'm teaching how to shoot for the first time or that I'm working with in a lesson is I'm a big believer in the 1-2 step, especially for kids. Nowadays, you see kids sometimes working on the hop, and I just think when you hop into a shot, you're much less, you're off balance. Kids just don't have the strength to be able to do that. And it's one thing for a high school varsity player. It's another thing for a kid who's in third grade and is 9 years old to try to do a hop. So I try to really focus on teaching kids the 1-2 step simply because it gives them more balance, gives them more power. And when you shoot on balance, guess what? The ball goes in.
Yeah, and I agree, especially with the whole hopping piece. You know, I've seen it with my kids in 7th and 8th grade. You know, they still don't have control of their bodies at that point. You know, they're still learning the coordination piece that we talked about last podcast. You know, I think that comes into play big time. And these kids, I think another big problem is they're used to seeing these NBA players, like the person I think of automatically, off-balance shooter, J.R. Smith. He is 90% of the time completely fading away to the corner, doing this. So these kids are all watching the NBA players play, and they think, oh, well, he can do it. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Or they're seeing it on NBA 2K18, yeah. And they're watching, trying to emulate those shots. And, again, they forget that those guys have practiced thousands and thousands of shots shooting the ball correctly, and now they have to come in and, you know, then they can fade away. NBA player can do that because they've practiced doing it fundamentally correctly for so long, and obviously youth players don't have that same level of experience.
All right, the fourth mistake that they make is attempting difficult or impossible passes. Once again, we see a lot of this at camp. I just see the kids, they think they can make these passes that, A, a lot of times they're off balance with their passes. They're throwing these wild passes instead of working on the fundamentally sound passes. And I think the really good thing that we do at camp is we play these short-sided games that we talked about in that one podcast, where it gives them the opportunity with it being 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 to make more passes. And it's more practical for them because they're learning more situational passes, and they'll be able to actually – they should be able to replicate them in the bigger games, and getting them more chances and touches with the basketball gives them the chance to work on these passes. But I think the big thing is it's teaching them the correct way to pass the
ball. Right, and there's just less congestion. There's just less congestion on the court. So when I throw a pass, I've only got to get it past one or two defenders, as opposed to in a 5-on-5 game, you know, there's many more players out on the court to get in the way of a pass. And I think one of the things that, you know, again, kids need more of is just playing, just being out on the court and seeing and recognizing situations. And as we've talked about, it's kind of a common theme that kids don't play the same way that we played in previous generations. And so as a result, they're just not getting the game experience where they can experiment with different kinds of passes and different things that they're trying to do. And, you know, we all love creative players, but creative players are ones that have gotten a lot of experience so they can know how to use, you know, their passing vision to be able to see players. And just, you know, again, you watch any youth basketball game, and I think back to when my kids were in, you know, first and second grade, and just the number of balls that are just thrown who knows where, and you look at the kids and, you know, they're not experienced, and you totally understand, but you wonder, like, what was going through their mind when they threw that particular pass. Of course, I've watched high school, college, and pro games where the same thing applies. Absolutely. Let's move on to mistake number five. Mistake number five is a really one that I think could be easily fixed, but it's not catching the ball securely with two hands before trying to dribble, shoot, or pass. And again, this is one that you see at all levels of basketball, somebody trying to do something before they've actually secured the basketball. And catching with two hands, I can't remember where I heard this from, but I know I've read it or heard it somewhere, that the way you win basketball games is simply by passing and catching. And if you and your team can pass the ball and complete passes, then you have a really good chance of winning, because you're simply not going to turn the ball over. And typically, if you get more shots at the basket than your opponent, you have a good chance of winning. And I think passing and catching is so underrated from, I don't know how you feel or what you do with your teams, but just the ability to pass and catch the ball from any level is just so, so important. And you don't see coaches ever practicing it. You know, we're working on individual moves, and we're working on between the legs dribble, or working on, you know, a 17-foot jump shot, or we're working on a set play, or we're running our offense, and we just don't work on, hey, pass and catch.
Well, all our opening sets, we have 3 or 4 opening sets that we do with drills, and they all require passing, and I'm very strict on my passing with my kids because I've talked at length before, but the way that we practice is going to be the way we play the game. So I make the kids make strong passes, hit them in their pockets, you know,
we're talking about pockets, like where they want the ball to shoot. Hit them with good, solid passes. None of these, I call them lollipop passes. They throw them high in the air. You know, that's more common in with my girls' team than my boys' team. But at the same time, I really try to preach with our opening sets, our warm-up drills that we're working on passing, along with the shooting. You know, we do three-man weave. We do that. We do one called three-man with runner, which kind of gets them to do more like spacing and throwing it down the floor and working on strength passes. So we do this every single day. We're doing the same drills over and over and over again.
I know one of the things that I always find challenging as a coach is, you know, you have kind of your point of emphasis, something that you're, you know, maybe you've read an article about or something that your team's struggling with, and you put emphasis on it for a little while. And then I know I find myself with passing and catching, I won't always focus on it. So we're focused on something else, and then all of a sudden I notice, oh man, you know, they're starting the drill with a one-hand underhand pass, or they're just, like you said, they're throwing lollipop passes. And it's something that as a coach you have to keep aware of, because a lot of times it's a little small detail that we forget about how important just passing and catching is.
All right, let's go into the sixth mistake that youth basketball players make, and that is not using a screen by going shoulder to shoulder. And I see this all the time in my coaching. I think this year when I was coaching my one team, I spent a solid 30 minutes replicating and showing how to properly use a screen. I don't know what it is. They don't like to go shoulder. I say, you know, you should always rub shoulders. You know, doing that, you want to use the screen because they get the defender to run into it. And they just don't seem to use it. I mean, and it's really important to use it the proper way, because if you don't, then the defender has a much easier chance to slip by the screener or cut underneath the screener or do whatever. So it's really important to use it properly, and it just makes it way easier for your offense to do it the way that you're supposed to do it. So I can distinctly remember a practice this year. I spent like 30 minutes. Guy, you dribble, and you're going to rub shoulders, and that was it. There was no defender or anything. It was literally, we're just going to do this because you guys aren't doing it right. We need to get it in our brain.
That's especially important in today's, the way the game has evolved with the number of ball screens that are being set. You know, if you're the dribbler and you're going to use a ball screen and you're not going to go off shoulder to shoulder, you know, you give your defender many more options of how they can defend that screen. And you know, the same goes for off-ball screens. But to be honest, you know, if you go and watch a high school basketball game, you don't see nearly the amount of off-ball screens that you might have seen 10 or 15 years ago. Most of the screening action that we see in basketball today is on-ball screens. And again, when players set screens, the person receiving the screen, the ball handler, just has to use it correctly and come off their shoulder. And like we've said, I don't see that happening very often, and it's definitely an important skill for youth coaches to teach. Number seven, flipping it over to the defensive side of the screening game, failing to help a teammate when they get screened. And now this is one of the things that I notice all the time when I was coaching my son's team in travel, AAU, rec basketball. Someone would come up and set a ball screen, and the person who was guarding the ball handler would get screened off, and the defender who was on the screener just would stand there and watch the person come off the screen and go in and shoot a layup. And so it's something that you definitely have to teach as a coach, and you have to be, again, it's more situational awareness like we've talked about before. It's where playing those short-sided 2-on-2, 3-on-3 games where you have screening situations where if you don't help, it's almost an automatic basket because there isn't any other congestion on the floor. You have, you know, 2, 3, 4 less players on the floor than you do in a 5-on-5 game. And so when you fail to help that teammate when they get screened, it's just it's a problem that's totally obvious because it results in a layup for the other team.
And I think in my opinion, the biggest thing is the communication when the screen is coming is also plays into a problem here for a lot of people. Is there's teams that don't talk on the floor at all on defense. And I think that is literally the biggest problem. And, you know, we could talk about the youth. We could talk about – I look at the Cavs and the way they play defense at times this past season. There was no communication. all they would do is look at each other and give each other dirty looks. And that's the professional players. They were not defensively
motivated. Yeah, trying to get kids to communicate on the basketball floor is probably one of the biggest challenges that I've ever had as a coach, because it's one of the things that I guess after having played for so long that I just do naturally, and whether I'm on offense or defense, I'm calling out, hey, watch this, or go there, or look for this pass, or hey, I'm open, or whatever the case may be, I'm constantly talking. And then you go to a gym and you listen to a youth practice, and I'm trying to get my kids to teach, you know, to talk, and you know, they're dead silent. A lot of times they just don't know how, you know, they don't know how to talk. They don't know what communication means. So you have to give them examples, and you have to really try, again, going back to my point that I made earlier in the podcast, you have to make it a point of emphasis. If you're not focused on passing and catching, or you're not focused on communication, it's easy for those things to slip. And so, like you said, when you don't communicate, that's a great way to fail to help a teammate when they get screened.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. Not holding the follow through when shooting the ball. And I think this is really, really key. I remember specifically learning when I was learning how to shoot, like being told the beef thing, balance, eyes on target, elbows in, follow through. And follow through being like the one thing that you seem to talk about the most. Maybe that's just how I remember it. Just holding that so that you can see the follow through, so you can see that the ball releasing off of your fingertips and all that. And at the same time, you want to watch your hands. It should be both hands. It shouldn't just be the one. You've got your guide hand in the perfect position, because if it's not in the right spot, then your follow through is not fully there. So I think it's really important that you keep that in mind, that the kids have to work on their follow through, because they just don't. And it helps you see a lot of times, if the kids are not shooting the proper way, you can see why they're not doing it correctly, because their follow through is off kilter. It's going left or it's going right. And there's one kid at camp this week that's shooting with their left hand, but their right hand is following through.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. And I've tried to analyze it, and I don't get it at all.
That's a case where, you know, we obviously haven't done this because we're in a camp setting with lots and lots of kids, but there have been occasions where I'm working with a kid and trying to decipher what problems they're having with their shot, and that's where video can be a huge help, of like looking at where their hands are and what the movement of their shot is. And again, I see this all the time with kids that I work with, again, on every level of basketball. And when they don't hold their follow through after they shoot, inevitably it just leads to bad habits, and they end up missing. And they want to make shots. Kids want to make shots. So whenever I'm trying to teach kids how to shoot, what I always say is pose for a picture. Imagine your mom and dad, they're in the stands, they've got a cell phone out, or they got a camera out, they're trying to take your picture, and they're not very good with technology. So here you are, you shoot the ball, and you immediately pull your follow through back as soon as that ball is out of your hand. And by the time mom or dad snaps the photo, they basically have a picture of you just standing there because your hands are down by your sides. And if you pose for a picture, you hold that follow through until the ball goes through the basket. You see the result of the shot. Hopefully it's a make. But regardless, you keep, as you said earlier, both hands up in the air. Your shooting hand follows through with your wrist snapped, and you got the gooseneck look. And then your guide hand is flat. I always tell the kids that when you follow through, your guide hand should be up, so that somebody could come by and give that hand a high five. It should be flat. You shouldn't have your thumb sticking out. And just, again, posing for that picture and making sure that you hold that follow through. It's so, so important to build that as a good habit, like we talked about in the last podcast. When kids develop poor habits when they're young, those carry over. And so you really want to teach kids to follow through when they're shooting the ball. And that's a huge mistake that I see kids making all the time, is when they don't do that. That leads us to mistake number 9 that youth basketball players make, and that's dribbling the ball too high. This is, again, the less experienced the player, the higher that dribble goes. And so what we try to do is try to teach kids, you want to keep the ball. Initially, you want to keep it below your waist. And as they get better and they start working on different moves off the dribble, you want to get that ball down, in many cases, below your knee. And when you do and you lower your dribble, a lot of times kids think, oh, I don't have, you know, I can't dribble that low. And it actually gives you more control. When you have the ball lower, the ball spends less time out of your hand. When you dribble and the ball's up by your shoulder, that's a lot of time that ball is spending out of your hand. And so we really want to make sure that we're getting kids to dribble the ball below their knee.
And I think that's really important for the kids to practice the good habits from an early age. Like we've said multiple times, and get, like, you think about it, you should be used to dribbling if they start when they're really young. They should be used to dribbling it really close to the ground, because
they're close to the ground, for sure.
So, you know, that goes into a whole nother talk about, like, as they get older, working on flexibility and having them have the ability to keep it low. But, you know, In practices, I really, really, once again, you know, it sounds like I'm saying I emphasize a lot of different things in practice, but you have to, right? I mean, but I emphasize, like, controlled dribbles, and going along with that is making sure your body's in control, because a lot of times the reason the ball is dribbling so high is because they're moving too fast and they can't control their body. And I think that, once again, goes back to the coordination piece that we talked about earlier. You know, all of these things kind of play into one another, and it's really important to teach them the good habits and get them on track with the good habits, because if they get on track with it, it's eventually going to translate to becoming a better basketball player. All right, the 10th and final mistake that youth basketball players make is their failure to stay between their man and the basket. And this, defensively, kids tend to follow the ball instead of staying with their person. They have a chant, they get out of position, they're not paying attention, they're not keeping an eye on their man. We talk about it, the help defense and things like that. We talk about ball you man, we talk about all these different things, and that evolves over time. Like, how different teams run defensive schemes really depends on how things happen, but my philosophy always is, you need to know where the ball is, but you also need to know where your man is or your woman is, and you need to be between them and the basket, because if you're not between them and the basket, you're out of position, and an easy backdoor layup, an easy basket for the other team is really going to be happen if you do it that way.
Yeah, and I think as you go up in levels of basketball, there are times where you may not be directly between your man and the basket. You may be in more of a denial position. You may be attacking in a different way to force a player right or left or whatever the case may be. But when you're at really young ages, the most important thing that you can teach is stay between your player and the basket. And if coaches of first, second, third, even fourth grade coaches were able to develop this concept with their players and help them to understand that line between the player they're guarding, themselves, and the basket, if they always stay on that line, then they're going to be doing a pretty good job defensively, and then it's going to be easier to teach more advanced concepts as the kids get older. Jason, I think the key to correcting some of these mistakes is to make sure that coaches and parents have patience with their young player and make sure that you're, again, giving your kid an opportunity to go out of their comfort zone, to feel comfortable that they can make mistakes, and so they can build the skills that they need in order to be successful at higher levels of basketball. We're all talking about here, you know, youth basketball, elementary, probably middle school, and then once they get beyond that, these problems hopefully will have gone away because they've practiced them and continue to work on them. So if they love the game and they're working at it, you're going to see them start to master these skills. And as they master each one of these skills that we see as being a common mistake, we're going to see their ability level and their success rate out on the court dramatically improve.
And I think going back to what we talked about earlier, you know, really giving them positive feedback for all these things, like, you know, maybe they didn't do something right, but showing them, here, this is what you're supposed to do, and then the next time that they do it, giving them that positive reinforcement that they look like they're learning, they look like they're trying to do it the right way. And I think going back, you know, we just need to do that. Give them positive impact, because the kids will remember, oh, they said I was doing this right and made them feel good. Kind of, as you've said before, fill their bucket and make them feel their drive and make them want to get better. And if they see results happening, they're going to continue to work hard and will become a better basketball player.
Absolutely. It's going to eliminate these 10 common mistakes that many youth basketball players make. Thanks for tuning in to the Hoopheads podcast, and we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.